Here we go with the next episode of The Beer Side. I don't even know what episode this is anymore.
Maybe 9. we'll figure it out.
I know, because of the hot topic of our next guest, maybe we'll have to put this out before number 8 is even ready. That might be kind of fun. So we are actually in Surprise down the road at a close brewery, friend of ours, State 48. We're sitting with the man, the head cook, the owner of
the State. The myth, the legend.
Mario.
How's it going?
So this is going to be fun. Mario, I'm sure, is going to have lots to say, and we're going to let him run with it. So, I don't want to say this too bad, but you've actually been in the news a lot lately in the local scene here. Before we get there, though, let's just talk about how you got into this. I mean, you come from a restaurateur kind of background.
We're a restaurant family. We've had restaurants since about 2007 in various locations throughout the valley, from Ahwatukee to Old Town Scottsdale to North Scottsdale. And we've always had a great craft beer selection. We've always dreamt about doing our own brewery. We've always talked about it, my father and brothers and I. We've brewed at home, and we just wanted to take it to the next level. And we found we're not professional brewers ourselves, so we just interviewed a bunch of brewers and found Chuck. And as soon as we tasted his beer, we knew he was our guy. And we made him an offer, and he's still with us to this day. And, we're just living our dream, you know, making it happen.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
So what made you decide to come out to Surprise?
We actually have another restaurant right down the road. It's inside of Sun City Grand, which is about 3 miles west of here. We've had that for about 7 years now, and we knew Surprise is a great community. We knew it's still expanding as one of the few parts of the valley that's still growing outwards. We knew there was a lack of what we want to do here, so there's not much competition. We knew the demographics were right for a craft beer bar, restaurant, and brewery, so... we've just waited for the right location for a couple years, and once we knew this building was coming available, we saw the potential with a huge patio and everything, so we knew it's what we wanted. And location's key, you know, with a restaurant, so...
Yeah, so you knew what you needed to do for the restaurant, but the brewery was new to you guys. So how did you figure that out?
We just hired the most professional, experienced brewer we could find, you know.
Did he help you with the layout of the brewery and the equipment?
We did our research. We knew what we wanted. We did our research. He definitely helped set up as far as where everything goes, and definitely helped out a lot. Chuck's a smart guy. He knows way more than just brewing. You know, he knows the whole science and everything behind it. So he definitely helped out with that part.
Yeah, Chuck's a seasoned brewer. He's been around for a while. He's brewed in a couple different states. He's got the pedigree for sure. So you're pretty lucky to have him. He's a great guy too.
Yeah, so, he's very humble.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. So. One of the questions we came up with was, how different is it for you now? You're used to running a restaurant, but now you're running a restaurant with a brewery attached to it. So how different has that been for you?
Oh, it's definitely something we've had to start from the bottom and learn. You know, now we're looking to get into distribution. We have distributors trying to get our product, helping us take it to the next level. So that's something that is our next venture. You know, we started from the ground floor with the restaurants. You know, we've closed some restaurants. We learned from our mistakes. So we've got the restaurant aspect figured out pretty well. Now we're learning the brewery aspect. And luckily we have some great brewers. We brought on 4 more brewers since we started. We have Brett Blanchard came over. He has tons of experience. Another great guy. We brought in another guy from New Mexico to spearhead our sour program, which we will be starting soon. So
in the last year, you guys have kind of exploded and, you know, set up your domination on the state of Arizona. You opened 3 more locations in 1 year. How the hell did you do that?
Well, we definitely needed more brewing capacity because our brewery here is a 10-barrel system. We're a giant restaurant. We could barely make enough beer just to sell in our own restaurant. So we're definitely looking for other options. Instead of a production facility, we decided that we wanted to do another brew pub model. We love this model. We love serving. We love people coming and enjoying the whole experience of a brewery instead of just a tap room. So that's our model. It's what we're good at. So we started looking. We found a downtown location. They actually came to us for the downtown. They said they came to our other restaurant. They knew that we had a brewery. They said we're renovating this historic building downtown. We've always thought about going downtown. We see the renaissance of that's happening downtown right now. So we saw that location. We signed that lease. And then as that's being built, kind of the same thing, two other property management groups approached us. we made an insane offer, just threw something out there, and they accepted it, and we're like, oh, I guess we'll do it. So yeah, we weren't planning on expanding so rapidly, but it kind of just fell into our laps, and we said, why not? You know.
So that had to be like an oh shit moment. What the hell are we gonna do? Because I mean, just building a brewery is a hard enough deal, and then, I mean, one every year would be hard enough to put a lot of people, you know, in the crazy house. But you did three.
Yeah, it's been crazy. I mean, we're definitely not normal. You know, we're expanding way more rapidly than expected. But I think it was a good move for us because now we have four locations that don't compete with each other. They're all in different parts of the town that we'd love to be in. And everyone has his own concept and brews his own beer between the Lager House and Lagers. The Funk House right now, we just have been trying to keep up with our flagship, so we haven't started the sour program. But this is the busy season. It pretty much ends in April. So once things calm down, we're going to start our sour program. We have the brewer on board. Right now, he's learning all of our basic flagship recipes. But once we have the room in the tanks, he's going to be brewing our sour program. So... every location, it works. We're making it work. It's definitely crazy. You know, the hardest part of it is running a restaurant. Running restaurants is hard. Getting brewers, you know, everybody wants a brewer. Everybody wants to help out with the brewery. But the restaurant, there's a town pool shallow in this state. So it's rough. That's why, like I said, the past 4 hours I've been a fryer cook today before this.
Whatever it takes when you're a business owner.
Yes. Yeah. We're definitely hands-on owners. We're there all the time, like you guys. You know, I see your family there. I've never walked into your business without seeing anyone from your brewery. So we're a family business. You know, I run the kitchens. My brothers run the fun house. My father helps out with wherever he can. My mother's cooking sometimes. You know, she'll come to work.
Wow.
All dressed up, nice in her heels, and jump on the line if we need it. So we'll do whatever it takes to be successful.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
That's, I mean, that's it's important to have that kind of value, especially, I mean, well, mine's my name on the door, yours is something different, but to still have everybody here and be on board, that takes a lot out of a family sometimes. How is the family dynamic handle this?
Oh, it's rough. It's very rough. You know, when you have four sons, a strong mother, and a strong father, all trying to do everything their way, we definitely butt heads. At the end of the day, we all love each other and everything, but we definitely have our differences, and we argue, but, you know, in the end, We all agree to disagree and just do what we need to do to make the place run smoothly. But there's definitely that I feel like I'm a kid again. You know, we're quarreling. You know, my brothers and I have always gotten along. We've always defended each other. We've been best friends. You know, but there's definitely that aspect. We're four strong-headed Italians from New York. You know, we're
yeah. Yeah. Brandon grew up in a family-run business, so he knows. I mean, it's caused a strain in his relationship with his family, so we totally understand. And now here, we always swore we would never do that, and now here we're doing that, and we've got our boys working in our brewery for us, so we know. I mean, it is hard, and it's hard to leave work at work and leave home at home, and we really do try to make sure that we don't carry things at home, things home from work and carry things to work from home.
It's a high-stress environment.
It is.
Restaurants are stressful, you know. Yeah. Everyone's at their throats all day long. And at the end of the day, we're all having a beer laughing together. But in the craziness of it, during the dinner rush, everybody wants to kill each other. So.
Oh, yeah. How many times a day do I threaten to punch you in the face?
At least four.
Yeah, I think I'm currently blocked from some of my brothers. I don't even think they could take... They could accept my text messages or phone calls right now.
I never thought of blocking. Yeah. That's awesome. That's how I'm totally doing that.
They finally figured out the trick to get to me, you know, is ignoring me. So,
yeah. Oh, my God. I'm going to block Maddie right now.
That's funny.
That's awesome.
So because there's so many of you involved, when all these opportunities came up for these other breweries, was everybody on board or were people like, no, this is stupid?
No, actually two of my brothers, they're smart guys, probably smarter than myself. One of them went to college, got his master's degree. He was working for, I believe, Merrill Lynch, doing his own thing, you know, very young, successful. And he left his corporate job to come help the family business. And then my brother Vince, he was working part-time running one of our restaurants and then real estate. So they both kind of gave up their careers to kind of help the family business. And then my other brother, he's the smartest one. He went and opened up his own restaurant. So he just said, screw you guys.
Yeah,
exactly. He's the smartest one, you know. He just bailed.
I gotta remember that.
Yeah,
that one's in Arizona too, though.
Yes, it's on Scottsdale Road and Shea. It actually used to be kind of the family business, and then we were looking to sell it just to focus on the brewery because the brewery is doing so well. That restaurant does very well, but we just wanted to not have to worry about it. So he actually made the offer to buy into it. So now it's his restaurant. He's doing very well. He's been there for about 5 years now, I believe. So.
Wow.
So how did you go about finding these additional brewers in such a quick time? Because right now, with the amount of breweries opening up, brewers are thin, and then it's even harder to find good brewers. I mean, you can find people who, you know, I've home brewed, I can brew for you, but no, they don't generally work out.
Oh, yeah. Everybody wants to come and brew with us, and we let them come and do sort of an apprenticeship and kind of help us, you know, take the grain out of the barrels and everything. So we definitely have a lot of hands helping out, but Brett, he was working at another local brewery. He wanted something different, you know. I'm not sure of his reasons. He approached us, and we knew of his resume. We knew of him. We knew he could make great beer. So we brought him on. And then Johnny is actually dating one of our bartenders. Was a brewer over in New Mexico. He broke up with his girlfriend. She introduced him to us. We checked him out, tried his beers. Like, you know what? You make phenomenal beers. If you're ever interested in coming out to Arizona, we would love you to kind of take over the Funk House, because he specializes in sours and wild fermentation. And he made the move out here. We put him up in a house that we have that we were using as a Airbnb, and you know, helped him get his life together out here. And now he's on board. And then the other brewer, we just put an ad out. Yeah. So we have a great team, and we're expanding. Every guy has their own location. Chuck bounces around from location to location, overseeing everything.
That's cool. Yeah. So you actually went out and found somebody who actually has a history and knowledge to make sour beers.
Yes.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. He came from a Rio Bravo Brewing in New Mexico.
So you got one foot up on everybody else by doing it that way. Because a lot of times people like get into it and start, oh, now we're going to start doing that. But you actually looked for and found somebody.
Yes. Yeah. Chuck and Brett have both done kettle sours, and they could do it if we asked them to, but we wanted somebody specialized in it. I mean, what we like about Chuck is he brews many styles very well. He could do phenomenal IPAs. He could do great Belgian beers.
Yes.
He could do great Hefeweizens. So he does everything very well. You know, he's not a one-trick bony. He studied. Ooh. He went to the Siebel Institute. He knows his shit, you know. And,
well, he's been doing it for 150 years. Yeah. I mean, he has. It's almost like he's been doing it since beer began.
What's crazy is he was a police officer in his other life, you know. Mm-hmm. He did that, retired from that, and then got into brewing professionally. So
yeah, both our kids want to go into the fire and police route, and it's like, first I was like, no, this is kind of dumb, but no, these guys make a lot of money. They work for 20 years and they're done. And they're in their 40s, and they're retired already.
Retired young and started his next career.
Exactly,
You don't know it, but Chuck's 60 years old.
You know? He can run circles around a lot of younger guys.
Yeah, he doesn't look it, but he's 60 years old.
I love Chuck. He makes some good beer. I mean, I've told you a million times. Van Buren Blonde and Hellbitch, those are two of my favorite beers. But I'm not allowed to drink Hellbitch.
I'm cut off from Hellbitch as well.
Oh, right, high five.
Yeah.
It was really sweet of you guys to let him name that beer after me, though.
It sounds like you have a whole brewing team, which is awesome. And then, like you said, you can bring people in at the bottom, and if they work out, that's great. And if they don't, that's fine too, because you got such a deep team doing the brewing. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, when we took over the Funk House, it was previously a brewery, and their assistant brewer approached us. He says, "Hey, I know the whole system. I know how to brew on here. I'm just an assistant brewer, but I do know everything." So we brought him on. You know, because it was a different system than what we're used to, and he's great. And now he's brewing batches of our beers by himself. His name is Adrian. So we have a great team. We have a great team of guys, and they see the potential that State 48 has, and they're all on board with our expansion.
When you guys started this first location here in Surprise, like me and a lot of other breweries, everybody has a plan to expand and grow. But I'm sure it wasn't to be this fast.
Oh, no. We just wanted to be a restaurant that brewed their own beer at first. We never even thought about distribution or, you know, selling wholesale to other restaurants. But now that we have a great product and there's a want for it, we're going to take this as far as we can.
How difficult was it to get to the next point? I mean, when you guys did, it was like, shit, we got to start sending our beer out the door now.
You know what? It's been rough, but the city is surprised. We were very well received with the city. They loved it. You know, this city needed a brewery, you know, so that definitely helped. Just filling a void definitely helped. And then the fact that we actually have great beer, that helps as well. You know, we're like we said, we just make solid, true style beers. I always say we don't have a line around the door to get one of our new can releases, because that's not our thing, you know. I've taken some shit about saying that comment, but you know what? We make a solid Hefeweizen. We make a solid Mosaic hopped IPA. We just make solid beer. And
I mean, yeah, you guys are full right now. There's a lot of people out there, and not to bring up the elephant in the room, but I'm sure all those people out there, they didn't go on Facebook and read what's been going on here lately.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're not too upset about my recent comments, you know. It's
Let's clarify, because we've had this happen to us, you know. We've had people come in, and Brandon's actually, I have not, but Brandon's been interviewed and been totally misquoted in an interview.
Charles Barkley was misquoted in his own autobiography. So.
we had people jumping all over us about what he said, but that's not what he said.
So let's back this up a little bit. So explain to us what happened. You were interviewed by a local magazine. And what happened? Like, explain, because I don't think a lot of people know this. I mean, people listening to this might not even know any of what happened.
So what happened is I was interviewed by this local magazine. It's called Escuso Progress. It's a little magazine that's only been around for a year. I was interviewed by this girl that loves to drink beer but knew nothing about beer. So I was kind of off the record explaining to her how brewing works and everything.
So did she come in to, like, interview you? Or yes. Was she just, okay, so she wasn't, like, sitting at the bar asking you questions?
No, it was a legitimate interview. 99% of that interview that she wrote down was said. She just misconstrued a few minor details, which is what everybody flipped out about. I said a few years ago, it was hard to find many Arizona-made lagers, which is true. There's brewers that have been brewing lagers for a while, but there were not a lot. Okay, lagers are just making a resurgence again in my mind. And you know what? Nobody in Arizona is really making that their focus. I see a lot of breweries launching new lagers. I know there's some breweries I see they got their new vessels for it, and I understand. I know everyone's going to be doing it, but all I said was we're the first brewery. State 48 Lager House is the first brewery to focus on all lagers. I never claimed to be the only person to do lagers. I never claimed to be the first person to do lagers. All I said was that we're the first brewery to focus our efforts on all lagers.
I don't know, and, Mario. When I was reading all the comments without even reading the article, it looked like you actually invented lager.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure most of the people read the comments and jumped on the hate train. You know, I have a history with that Arizona craft beer enthusiast group. About 9 years ago, when the group first started in the infancy of Facebook, I was in that group. I was running a restaurant called Cuoco Pazzo that we had. It was an Italian style gastropub. We had 40 beers on tap. And you know what? Back then, I had one of the best tap lists in the state. I couldn't give away craft beer. You know, it was hard. It's before the whole explosion, and Arizona's always a little bit behind in culture, you know, and in aspects like that. So craft beer hadn't really blown up in Arizona yet. So I was arguing with a few people. I had a few drinks that night. I was young. I was dumb. I was, 23, 24 years old. Had a few drinks. I pretty much told them I'll go fuck themselves, you know. Whatever. I went up to it. I got mad. You know, I was arguing with some guys. They all team up. It's the same guys. You know, it's the same guys. I'm sure you guys can name all of them by name. You know, the same few guys are like, this, the one guy, he's the head troll with all his little cronies. And they all jump in. And what really upset me about this whole situation is I publicly made an apology to other breweries saying, listen, I'm sorry. Definitely don't think I'm the pioneer, like she said in that article, the pioneer of craft lagers in Arizona. All I said was we're focusing our efforts on lagers. You know, it was a free article written about me.
At that one location. Yeah, like, that's all you guys are doing all over.
All we're doing there is lagers. We have 11 fermenters there, and they're all going to be dedicated to lagers.
Yeah.
So people just took it the wrong way. People already don't like us. You know, I look at State 48 as almost a black sheep of the industry. I know I'm going to get a lot of shit for saying that, but whatever. We're the black sheep of the industry, you know. We don't hang out with all those other guys, you know, all the cool kids, I like to call them. You know, we're just doing our own thing. And people see our success, you know. They see our locations, they see us rapidly expanding, and I almost think it's people can't wrap their mind around it, so they're going to talk shit. You know, say, "Oh, what the fuck? These guys fucking New Yorkers from they don't know what they're doing." You know, we do know what we're doing, you know. What's the difference between a guy who was a insurance agent for 20 years, then he's a home brewer, goes and gets his home, goes and opens up his own brewery, and then incorporates food, you know? He's not a chef. Should I give him shit? No. We're the opposite. We're restaurateurs that got into the brewing. So we're not trying to do it ourselves, you know? We're not claiming to be the greatest brewer in the world. We're just making what we, in our mind, think is solid beer. And we're more about the atmosphere, like I always say. We're about the experience of coming into a brewery, having a good burger, having a good pizza, getting a solid made IPA to wash your pizza down with, you know? So people don't like us, especially if you show any sign of confidence, you know, with anything. So people beat us down, but I'm not going to let them beat me down. I have thick skin. I literally only apologize to out of respect for other brewers. But you know what? All of these guys, they want to jump all over me. Whatever. I don't care. They make great beer. I've drank both their beer. I cannot say a single bad thing about their breweries. I'm going to take the higher road. But you know what? Them as people, fuck them. You know? So.
Did anybody reach out to you privately instead of publicly on social media?
Oh, no. No. They know what they're doing. You know, they know they're going to say a little kind of backhanded insult to me, and then all the little trolls in that Facebook group are going to jump on and bash me, you know? Whatever. I knew I was setting myself up for failure by responding to them, but I thought long and hard about it. I slept on it. You know, I looked at it, and at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? I'm going to say something. I'm not one to, I've never been one to back down.
Yeah, you've never been shy. I mean, because I want to say this is the first time, but when you get a negative post or somebody says something negative about you, you stand up for what you believe in your company.
Of course. I you know, I might see 1,000 customers in my restaurant in a day. I might get 10 bad reviews in that day or in a week, whatever. And maybe one out of every couple thousand reviews I've talked back to, you know. I've defended my restaurant. I don't go and argue with every bad review, because you know what? We mess up. We're a busy restaurant. I did, I don't know, probably 2,000 covers yesterday in our restaurant. And you know what? I had one bad review. I apologize. You know, I try to rectify the situation. I'm actually not that big of an asshole as everybody thinks, but but I have been known to speak my mind once in a while, and that's where I just gave zero fucks, and you know, I said it, you know, because for the few people that got to read that review, whatever. You know, who actually goes and reads every review? They just look at the first few sentences. You know, I defended my company. Not that big of a deal. You know, I'm trying my hardest not to let those bother me. Definitely with the expansion I get. Now I have four times the headaches, you know, four times the bad reviews coming in. It's okay.
Yeah.
I'm learning to deal with it. You know, I'm not perfect. You know, all these guys are acting like they're perfect. I have my faults.
Yeah, but you can't please everyone all the time. I mean, no matter what you do, someone's going to complain about something. You know, there is that too.
Yeah.
So.
And I've tried to keep it civil with all these other brewery owners, but I just had the guy from Tombstone go off on me. I thought he was the owner too. He's not even the owner. He's a brewer. You know, he makes good beer. Good for him. Spent a day in my shoes.
You made a reply, and then you decided to take it down. Why?
Oh, I apologized. I apologized out of respect to other breweries, saying, listen, I'm sorry if I came off like this. Sorry if I came off arrogant or discrediting other breweries. That was not the intentions. And then I said that, and then that's before I even really went and read any of the gossip in that Facebook group. Mm. I kind of just, people were letting me know, you know, I actually took myself out of that craft beer enthusiast group just to not deal with the negativity. You know, that's
a lot
that
of
group
brewers
is just,
have.
That yeah. group is just just a negative group, you know. They talk shit. It's bad for the Arizona beer scene. You know, they're telling me what I did was bad for the Arizona beer scene, but I think that group is what is bad for the Arizona beer scene, you know.
Definitely.
Instead of commending the guy that makes a great IPA they could drink every day, they're just looking for the whales, you know. They're just looking for the one-off beers that have cool labels. And, you know, that's not our thing. That's not Day 40 will never be that thing. You know, we have a lot of cool stuff in the works as far as barrel aging and sours, but we're trying to make solid beer.
Were you surprised by the backlash you got?
From the brewers, yes. I personally would never bash another restaurant or brewery publicly like that. And I am surprised that some of the owners and head brewers did that. You know, I already know the internet hates Day 48, but you know what? I have a line at my door every day too, so it doesn't bother me that much. I don't even concern myself with that bullshit anymore. But a lot of people were bringing up to me, hey, you should probably go look at what's going on in that Facebook group. So I asked to join the group again. I read it all, bit my tongue for a day, and then I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna go defend myself. I'm going to keep it civil. I'm just going to say what happened, you know? I was misquoted on one little thing, saying something about how you couldn't find a Arizona-made lager a few years ago. She wrote, you couldn't find a Arizona lager 2 years ago. I wrote, you could barely find any, you know? So one little thing, people took it and ran with it. But it's okay. It doesn't mind. At the end of the day, they're my competition.
Did you reach out to her to say, hey, you misquoted me and this has caused a little bit of damage? A lot of damage.
Yeah, it was printed. It was printed, and so she can't change it. I mean,
she could write a retraction.
Yeah, she could write a follow-up.
I'm still waiting for her response. I never got her phone number.
Regardless, it's
so
that's like neither here nor there, but you're not responsible for the way that you were quoted.
It doesn't even bother me, you know?
You said what you said. It's cool. You know what I mean?
I wouldn't even change it if I had to. Like, you know what? One little thing, people took the wrong way.
That's kind of what happened with Brandon when he did. He wasn't even doing an actual interview. He didn't realize that this guy was interviewing him. This was just a guy sitting at the bar.
It wasn't even an interview. No. This guy just came in. I think I told the story before, but this guy came in, and he came with a regular. And they sat at the bar, and he just started asking questions. I just thought he was just a beer fan. And then he pulls out a little notebook, and I was like, okay, he's probably a beer nerd. He's probably taking notes and keeping track of what he's doing and what he's drinking. And then he started asking me a bunch of questions. And then the questions started getting more and more direct. And at some point, I realized this guy's not a typical beer guy. And so he started asking a few more questions. And at one point, I said, you know, I can't answer that question. He started asking me about, like, I mean, thinking flat out, asked me, like, what breweries aren't any good? I was like, I can't answer that. Why would I answer that? I go, everybody's trying to do their own thing here. Some are better than others. Some are more seasoned than others. But, you know, everybody's trying. And he's like, well, you won't give me anything? I go, no, you're writing everything down. Why would I tell you something like that? He's like, I won't write anything down. And I flat out said to him, I go, look, there's some breweries that I go to and there's some that I don't because they are my friends. And I like these guys, and they help support me, and I was able to bounce ideas off them when I was starting my brewery. And also, I like their product. I like what they're doing. I like their beer. Not to say that I don't like these other people's beer. It's just some of these other ones, maybe I enjoy the ambiance more, or I know I'm going to run into the owner there, or I do like their brewer, and I like what they're making more. So I go out of my way to go to those places. Well, at the time, we had this little troll who worked for us as well for a brief time, and he loved nothing more than to just spew a lot of shit and hate all the time, and poor me. And he made a bunch of comments, a bunch of stupid ass comments. Well, this guy ended up being a writer for Celebrator magazine and goes back and writes an article. Never told me he was writing an article, writes an article about it and says that I said all this bullshit. And then I start getting text messages and phone calls from other brewers. And that's why I was asking you if you got calls from like the guild or other brewers, because I did.
Oh no, everybody just jumped on the bandwagon, you know?
And that's why
not everybody. So just, I don't want you to, like, it kind of hurts my heart a little bit for you to say that you know that everybody hates you or the internet hates State 48. I really don't think that's true. I really, really don't.
Well, if that was true, I wouldn't be in business right now.
Well, no.
I know it's not that.
Right.
But it's not as bad as you think it is.
I have people who I consider friends in the beer community, and they were definitely not jumping in. It was a few breweries, you know, and they're all, I look at them as a little clique, you know. Anytime one of those breweries is mentioned, the other three are mentioned, and there are a lot of those Phoenix breweries, and it's okay.
You have a brewery in Phoenix now.
Yeah, I do. Mm-hmm. And I actually carry two of the breweries where the brewers were kind of talking shit. So guess whose tap handles are going in the garbage tomorrow? So, yeah, not really. I'm not going to throw them in the garbage. I'm going to return them. But it just blew my mind, you know. I had people saying, "Oh, I have a one guy from Helton was like, "Oh, I have an invoice from you carrying my lager from 3 years ago." Yes, I supported your business. I was probably the first brewery in West Valley to have Helton on tap. You know,
yeah.
Brian Helton's coming to my restaurant. Seems like an awesome guy. So I'm not gonna say anything bad about his company. I'm not gonna do anything crazy because he seems like a good guy. He can't be responsible for what his brewers say. You know, actually one of the incidents with the craft enthusiast group happened a couple months ago where I got a lot of shit for, but I was just defending my brewer. My brewer Brett mentioned something like, "Hey, check out my stout. It's great." People just bashed him for it, and you know, I jumped in to help him out, and then I got sucked into it. And obviously, those guys, they're stay-at-home soccer dads, you know, just trading their beers on the internet, and they live for this shit. You know, they live for drama. So I got sucked into it. And just because I'm a passionate person, you know, I care about my business. So if someone's attacking my business, I feel like they're attacking my family, my livelihood. So, but I'm learning. I'm learning to brush it off.
It's hard. I mean, I know I've gotten sucked into a couple of like Yelp arguments with morons. But
don't even look at Yelp anymore. No, I don't even look at Yelp.
You know, it's just it's hard because just like you said, you put everything that you have earned in your lifetime so far, as well as betting everything in your that you'll earn in your future on this place. You actually take the risk of going out there, putting yourself out there, and it's like your baby. I mean, it really is like a child. You're a dad. You know, it's a very similar feeling.
It, and it is
so
my baby.
When somebody comes in and then they bash you over something so stupid, like they don't like the music you're playing. Did that really affect the taste of your beer? Are you kidding me right now? Like
they complain about the artwork in my bathroom. I have a kind of a risky mural in my bathroom.
I love that. In the ladies' room?
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. And every girl I've ever talked to loves it. So I don't know what...
I've gotten bad Yelp reviews because of it.
That's stupid.
People literally say the beer was great, the service was great, the food was great, but I didn't like the painting. It was weird.
We got a bad Yelp review because
it's a picture of a girl. We need to say it's a picture. If you haven't been to Stay 48 Surprise, it's a picture of a woman sitting on the toilet and she's got her panties like around her knees. She's making a snarky face, and I think she's got curlers in her hair or something like that.
Yeah, just curls in her hair. She's smoking a cigarette or a joint, and she has a 40 in her hand.
It's hilarious.
No brewers.
And everybody, my mother picked that out.
Yeah,
my mother decorated this place.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's not offensive.
54-year-old mother picked that out.
You don't see anything.
That's awesome.
You don't see anything. I have a picture of it in my phone because I took a picture of it and sent it to Brandon.
It's one of our most Instagram pictures.
I'm like, God dang it. Our bathroom sucks, man. We got like a advertisement for Lyft on the wall.
Yeah, you should put some murals in there. You should get some murals
I have a lot of stuff. I just need to repaint that one wall.
You're never going to please everybody. And there's always going to be somebody who doesn't like what you do. And, I mean, for us, it took us a while. When you first opened, you're like, oh, my God, I got to keep every customer. I have to please everybody. But I could spend all day back there changing the station on the kind of music I'm going to play. And eventually I was like, you know what? This is our place. This is what we do. If you don't like it, there's a lot of other breweries to go to. Right. And it sucks that they maybe don't like our music because – our music's pretty badass, but you know we got Metallica Mondays now, and it's fun. But you don't like Metallica, you know? I can't say screw
Metallica
you.
Metallica Mondays is awesome,
but it's hard to let that not get to you because in the end we're still running a business, and we want every dollar, we want every customer to be happy. But is the reason like, I mean, I don't go to Sizzler, you know? Sizzler isn't even around anymore. I mean, I don't go to Red Lobster, I don't go to Applebee's because I really don't like it, but. Because I don't like it, I'm not going on to Yelp and reviewing it. Say their food sucks and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go here
it's
instead.
It's just not for you.
Yeah, I don't like the music they played in this model home I looked at. It. You know, it's just...
I'm not going to buy this house.
It's Kenny G. Fuck you, Shea Holmes. You know, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
People like to do that, and when you're behind a keyboard, these keyboard warriors like to go on and make their opinions known, and it's very easy to have it start to snowball when their friend makes a comment, and then before you know it, a feed with like 6 comments turns into 150 comments because... Three people just feed off of each other and go.
Yeah, social media amplifies the negative, and there's no accountability for the people posting on there, and it sucks, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. There's 170-something comments on there. People actually took time in their lives to make memes with Stay 40 in
it. Oh my God, that was funny.
Which I legitimately laughed my ass off. It's pretty funny,
you're
you know?
Good, yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's ridiculous.
You got to send those to me.
People think I'm behind the computer, like, enraged. I'm sitting there laughing my ass off, you know? Like, I was, like, liking these memes about myself. It's pretty funny, you know? It's pathetic, whatever. I'm living the dream, you know? They're the Arizona craft beer enthusiast. I have an Arizona craft brewery with 4 locations, so.
Yeah.
Whose spot would you rather be in, you know?
Has this changed your opinion of the industry at all, or?
Oh, I don't even think much about it. Like I said, like, I don't get involved with all the craft brewers guild drama and everything. We don't involve ourselves with that, you know? We're too busy, you know? We're operating busy restaurants, you know? Even my slowest location, which is downtown, is still a busy restaurant, you know? We still pack the place at least one turn every night, so I just don't involve myself with it. I don't even know what's going on, you know? We're just doing our own thing. Like I said, I look at us as the black sheep of the industry, and I kind of like it that way, you know? You know, when you're regarded as one of the top dogs that everyone's expecting crazy releases at, they might be disappointed, you know? But people know they can come to my restaurant and get great burger and a great beer and a cool environment. So I'm happy with where I'm at, you know? I'm not letting anybody bother me with this, so.
Are you going to change how you react to this stuff now?
That's hard, you know? I told myself I was not going to react to the...
I've sent you messages before. I'm like, dude, why'd you post that?
I know. I've learned my lesson. Trust me, okay? My wife has yelled at me enough about it, okay?
Yeah.
But...
You got to do what your wife says.
Yeah, exactly. But whatever. Yeah, she talks... Like, she's the one that talks after me. She's like, why did you say that? So I'm learning my lesson, but... I don't care what like, you know, that Alejandro guy and that Sean guy. You know what I'm talking about. The same guys that every brewer talks shit about behind, but outside of that industry, you know, or that Facebook group. I don't care what they say, whatever. Their goal is to work you up, you know. What bothered me was the other brewers and brewery owners. You know, I didn't say anything wrong. It's not like I was insulting the industry. I did not call anybody. All I said was what we are, and people took offense to that. So you know what? That's their problem. Like,
I'll say something that I thought was really cool, though, is Doc at Petal House, Derek Osborne. He went out of his way to post on there and actually say, look, I've been, you know, misquoted more than I've been quoted correctly. And he actually went out to your location that night just to show support for you. So I thought that was very cool. I mean, he's one of the, if not the best brewer in town.
Agreed. You know, he's a very decorated brewer, and he was totally cool about it. And it was pretty cool to see at least one person support us, you know. And I like what they're doing, you know. They're not canning their beer. They're kind of like us. They're just trying to offer good beer at their locations, you know.
So. Yeah. He makes some pretty good lagers too.
Yeah, award-winning lagers, you know.
Yeah.
Never claimed I was the best, the first, or the only, you know.
Right.
Just said we're the first one to do all lagers. So.
Right.
And.
So where do you go from here? I mean, what's your next?
Our next step, just perfecting everything. You know, we bought about 2,000 square feet in the location next to us downtown that is all plumbed and piped and ready to go for a canning line.
Wow.
We're working with the Oscar Blues is building it for us. So we should have our canning line sometime in 2019. Don't know when. I don't deal with that stuff. I deal with 98% of everything in this business other than really building out the places. That's all my father. So we will have... Our product can probably by mid-2019. And so our next step is cans and distribution. And when we can do a lot of cool stuff, you know. We're working on our branding. We're working with an artist to kind of create our look. You know, every brewery has their look. You know, like you see a Pueblo Vida can, you know that's a Pueblo Vida can. You know, they have amazing artwork. So we're working with a really cool theme. We're going to kind of keep it with the kind of graffiti... kind of tattoo graffiti image, you know. We're gonna kind of start establishing our branding. You know, we got the good beer, we got the good food, we have the cool places, we've worked on getting the business. You know, we worked on kind of showing people who we are, but now it's time to kind of hone our craft and take it to the next level.
Yeah, your downtown location is gorgeous.
We went
right before the Foo Fighters, and that was the first time. We'd all been there, and it was, I mean, it blew me away. Yeah, that is a gorgeous...
The system gave me penis envy for sure.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, we understand people. I mean, there's some places that you could have, like, as far as restaurants, I'm going to say anything bad about breweries, but definitely with restaurants, you know, they have mediocre food, but they have a cool atmosphere, cool environment. People are going to Instagram it and say good things, you know. Like, look at the whole Sam Fox Corporation. They make good food, decent food, but it's not the best food, but they're so successful because they have cool concepts and they have cool decor and cool environments, you know. So we realize that, you know, it's an experience. We're not trying to be in every gas station and on every shelf, on every Fry's and Safeway, you know. We're still an experience.
Nice. Well, you're in four cities now. There's a few more cities in Phoenix, or I'm sorry, in Arizona. How many are you going to dominate?
Definitely have our eyes on the East Valley and kind of more North Phoenix areas.
So you're not done?
No. Nope, we're not done. We are...
Wow.
State 48 number 5 should be... We should have that lease signed by pretty soon.
You're nuts.
Hey, we have an offer. Somebody made us an offer we couldn't refuse. So it won't be a brewery. It's just going to be a, it's gonna be a
it's
tap room.
The Italian guy sitting here from New York. Huh?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He made us an offer we couldn't refuse. We actually told him no about a year ago, and they came back with a even better offer. So
wow.
Yeah, it's good. We're expanding rapidly, but then once we have locations in key areas, we'll settle down. And we... Why not? If you could do it, if you have the means to. Pretty much, there's the rumors, you know, you've brought up to me, you know, we're not funded by Bob Parsons, or it's not mafia money, you know.
It's not mafia money?
It's not mafia money. Sorry to disappoint.
Damn it.
You should just tell people
so
that.
We should tell people that, you know. We could definitely run with that theme, you know. I already have some awesome beer names, but nope, we're just a hardworking family. We opened a restaurant in 2007. My parents put all their money into that restaurant, lost everything when the recession hit, and we've slowly worked our way back up. You know, we had a place called Mad Chef that most of the people in the beer community know us from. And you know what? I was the only cook there. My brother was the only bartender. My mother was the hostess, and my dad was the utility guy. You know, we kind of just did everything, and we've worked our way up. And, you know, we got lucky with Angela's. That's the restaurant that's in Surprise. That place really took off, and that place helped open this place, and this place helped open up downtown, and then... Somehow we figured out how to open up the other two, but
wow! So you've leveraged your hard work into where you are now.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to insult anybody else, but we are a very hardworking family.
So you're still liking this? You're loving what you're doing?
I'm living the dream, you know. I actually told the family business to kind of go screw themselves a couple years ago. Not really screw themselves, but I was like, you know what? This business is ruining my relationship with my family. My brother and I were fighting all day, so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go do my own thing. I went out to Chicago to go work as a chef in a steakhouse that started in Phoenix called Mastro Steakhouse. Went out there.
Oh, I've heard of that place.
Yeah, went in.
I can't afford to eat there, but I've heard
expensive.
Of it.
Is that like Sizzler?
I couldn't afford to eat there with my employee discount. Yeah, it's expensive. So I went out there, and then I was doing my own thing, trying to work my way up the ranks, you know, learning from better chefs than myself. And my parents kind of bribed me to come back. They're like, hey, we have this location. I think we're ready. We're going to do it. We know your dream is to be a chef at a brewery. So I gave my month notice, you know, sold all my stuff I had in Chicago, and my wife and I and dogs just drove back to Arizona. And it's the best decision I ever made. I love it. You know, I love my job. I get frustrated, but at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? I'm living my dream. You know, a couple of years ago, I was happy if we had 40 people come in a restaurant. Yesterday, I had probably over 2,000 people come in a restaurant. So, and that's between four restaurants that I had. 6,000 people, you know, so I'm living my dream. Living my best life.
We're going to be here twice because we're here right now. It's a surprise. And then from here, we're on our way to Scottsdale. Check that place out.
Yeah, Scottsdale's beautiful. You know, I'll boldly say that's the best looking brewery in Arizona. You know?
Oh, great. Now everybody's going to shit all over you for that.
I'm already going to get shit on for this interview.
I don't
know.
My God. Like, so have you not been to our place and seen our amazing cement floors and the peeling paint in the bathroom?
I love your Banksy artwork and everything.
I'm
going
to beg to differ.
So you can tune into Charcuterie and see what they say, because that's where we're going to record Charcuterie at the other location tonight. So
I'm just going to drink all the lagers there tonight.
Yeah. Try the hell. The hell's the south of heaven. That's my favorite right now.
South of heaven,
all
right.
Yeah, I mean, they are the only lagers made in Arizona ever, so. Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
You can only get lagers made in Arizona at my brewery, so enjoy them.
I have been waiting all day to eat the tachos. I hear that's, like, the best thing that you'll ever put in your mouth. So.
Oh, yeah. We had a lot of requests for nachos. I was against doing any real Mexican food because we're not a sports bar. So I was like, you know what? Okay, I'll do tachos. And, yeah, we can't make them fast enough.
Yeah.
Well, let's hurry up and go because I'm starving.
Is there anything you want to add? Anything you want to clarify?
No, because I don't know. I've already put my foot in my mouth enough in my life, so.
I too snack on my foot often.
Yeah.
I'm with you. You and I are.
It's delicious.
We've said this before, Mario. You and I are two peas in a pod because I tend to speak first and think later, and yeah. I'm always in trouble. Yeah, it's awesome.
Say I meant no disrespect, and some of the comments from other breweries and brewers that I saw on that, whatever. I mean, it's a mob mentality. I'm sure some people kind of regretted what they said. Like, there's another guy who runs a local restaurant not too far from here who I've always been supportive of. I've always been at his little beer festival that he has down in Litchfield or whatever the name of that city is down there. So I saw him jump on the bandwagon, and I actually called him out. I was like, really? I thought we were cool. But it, like I said, it's just people jumping on the bandwagon. I had thick skin. I'm not too hurt. Whatever. Doesn't bother me that much. I just didn't want people to think that I think I'm the shit, you know? So
you gotta have a little bit of an ego.
Honestly, I'm a pretty humble person.
Well, that's good though, because this is still a humble industry, and people are always very supportive, very willing to give help and give advice and give knowledge, and I mean, hell, give free labor and some of these buildings that are brewing out, or I'm sorry, these breweries that are starting in to help them build out. So I mean, the fact that they did that kind of sucks. I mean, it sucks a lot.
It does suck. I saw people accusing me of having a mental problem. People accusing me of being a drug addict.
I did see that, and I thought that was some bullshit. What kind of drug addiction or alcohol addiction you've got to make?
Yeah, I don't do any drugs. Never have. I've never been about drugs. I actually barely even drink anymore. You know, I'm too busy working, and I'm trying to lose weight. I've lost like 15 pounds by not drinking every night, you know? So
don't tell people that. They're going to quit drinking.
God, yeah.
No, you got to drink more to lose more weight. I'll get off
work and have one beer and then go home. And depends on how long my wife's going to stay up by the time I get home, you know? But she usually goes to bed early. So then I'm like, oh, I'm not going to drink by myself. So yeah, definitely no drug addiction. Definitely not an alcoholic. Definitely just a pretty normal guy.
Well, I think it took some balls to come out here and talk to us about this. I mean, you've really been put through the ringer the last couple of days, and I think you clarified this, and hopefully some people get some maybe a little closure out of this and let you do your thing, and maybe some of those brewers you can work out those relationships or talk privately. I mean, because social media is not the place to talk about this kind of shit sometimes.
Exactly, and it just sucks because I've said great things about some of these brewers that insulted me. Like, people always say, hey, we're going over to Phoenix. Other than your own brewery, which brewery should we check out? And I was like, hey,
that's a big question. Everybody always asks that.
Check out this brewery. You know, they make great beer. Go check out these guys, because out here in Surprise, we're on our own little islands. You know, we don't know what's going on in the rest of the world. So
yeah, West Side.
I've definitely supported some of these breweries. I've given them praise. So to see them kind of give me some shit kind of hurt, but it's okay. I'm not going to call them jealous, but you know,
it might be.
Haters gonna hate, whatever.
Well, that's for sure. And they all congregate on social media.
Yeah, so. And it's social media. And it was a Friday night. I'm sure all of them were fucking wasted. I'm sure they're all drunk. You know, they all had that liquor courage. I would love to see how many of them would say that to my face. That's all I'm gonna say. You know, that's a New Yorker coming out at me. I would love to see this guy say this to my face, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing. No accountability on there, so.
I don't notice, though.
Yeah.
Right on, Mario. Well, I wish you success. I'm sure you're gonna power through this. It sounds like you already have a plan in action for just to keep growing, and just leave Peoria alone for me, okay?
I will not open up in Peoria. You know, too close to my own restaurant. Yeah. You already got you guys and Peoria Artisan. You know, so we're with the Scottsdale. We're actually excited to be around other breweries. Not trying to steal their thunder, you know. We thought it'd be cool to have a little area with breweries, you know.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a cool destination for sure.
Oso Brewery is one of my favorite local breweries. You know, I love John Lane, is an awesome guy. I've known him before either one of us were in the brewing industry, and he's always been supportive of us and very cool guy. That's why I always carry his beer. So, not trying to step on his toes. I thought it'd be cool to be in the area with three other breweries around there.
Well, you're keeping up with him though.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe he'll announce a new one next week after hearing
this. That guy has more locations than we do.
Right on, man. Well, I want to thank you for doing this.
Thanks for giving me the opportunity to have people hear me out.
Yeah. All right, man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, guys.